Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Trash Tuesday to you, everybody. DA here. And on a Trash Tuesday, we want to hear what's bugging you. Who's annoying you? We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We're going to do our trashes coming up here in 20 minutes from now. We expect you to send in your trashes. So tweet at me, DA on CBS, of what is getting under your skin. DA on CBS is your Twitter handle to send me your trashes, what's bugging you. I'll read through those coming up this hour and next hour trashes in 20 minutes. In 40 minutes, the Cubs broadcast team, my personal heroes. Also, you want to dial us up, trashes by phone even, hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, like I said, DA on CBS. So the Marlins having all of those positive tests yesterday. 11 players tested positive, 2 more staff members, leading to 13 positives on the Miami Marlins, canceling their game last night and the game that they played, their opponent rather, from Sunday, the Phillies, their game against the Yankees. So 2 games postponed last night because of the Marlins outbreak. And as Twitter collapsed upon itself with sports media and fans constantly fighting over whether Major League Baseball should cancel its season. Personally, I don't believe they should. I think they had to come into this season knowing this was a potential. Maybe not this many cases this early after just 3 regular season games, but they had to have some expectation that something like this could happen. You have to try to navigate this right now, and if you can't, then, okay, you go to the nuclear option of having to shut down the league. But you have to have known that an outbreak was probable. And so let's see how baseball reacts. I'm more interested in the reaction than the actual positive tests, because all of these leagues need to have protocol in place of when, not if, when something like this happens. It was impossible to believe that baseball was not going to have an outbreak at some point this season on some team that would cause a cancellation. Let's see how they react. And I'm not a big Rob Manfred fan, but when Manfred said this is actually not a nightmare situation for us, I tended to believe him last night, because you don't go through months of trying to reboot, restart your league or just your business in general in America in 2020 and not be prepared for a number of your employees to test positive and what would happen if that happens. But let's go to the NHL, because I want to actually focus on the NHL. The NHL announced one of the most amazing stats in sports history. Okay, and I'm not joking about this. This stat is staggering. This number that the NHL unveiled is far more impressive than whoever scores the most amount of goals in this postseason coming up, whoever wins the most games, whoever wins the Stanley Cup in the middle of this bubble. how many saves the best goaltender could possibly have. Hell, this could be more impressive than any of Wayne Gretzky's stats. We live in a nation right now that has 15 times the positive rate, not total cases, total positives, because we know we have a high population, the rate of positives. We have 15 times higher of a rate of positive tests than Canada. Okay? The NHL decided shrewdly to play in its two hub cities in Canada. Okay? So they're going to play in Edmonton and Toronto, two hub cities. They were looking at Vegas hard. They were looking at Chicago hard. They were looking at Raleigh. The NHL wanted at least one city to be one of their hub cities in the U.S., and perhaps both. They were hardcore looking at two hub cities in the U.S. I know this. I've had conversations with people inside the league. They were thinking two U.S. hub cities. And the more they looked at it, the more they looked at the positive rate, the more they looked at the infection rate, and the more they said, you know what, this is not making sense, and Canada is providing us a safer place to do this and providing us really good facilities and really good organization. So Canada, who is so intent on limiting the coronavirus that they're not even allowing their own baseball team to play there, they booted the Blue Jays out of the country to be safe, had enough safety protocols in place for the NHL to say, you know what, scrap one or two of our cities being in the U.S., let's go both north of the border. This stat is amazing. The NHL conducted phase three, which is formal training camp, before it returns on Saturday. So the NHL is coming back on Saturday. They are now through their formal training camp. That's phase three. They have administered 4,256 tests. That's more than 800 players. So they've taken 800 players and they've administered more than 4,000 tests, okay? More than 4,000 tests. Let's just say that each player approximately has been tested five times. Let's just use that as a round number. 800 players, more than 4,000 tests. You want to guess how many positives they have? Zero. They have 800 players. They have tested each one of those players about five times. They have more than 4,200 coronavirus tests amongst young adult males ages 20 to 35. Zero. Zero. Not one guy tested positive once. Not one player tested positive once. That is one of the most remarkable stats we will see ever in sports. 800 players tested minimum of five times. Zero positives. If you want to expand even further, add another 2,500 tests. Okay? There was another two-week period of phase three that occurred before this, quote, formal training camp. Add another 2,500 tests to that total. They've had two positives. 6,900 tests, nearly 7,000 tests, two total positives, and zero for the most recent round. That's how you keep guys safe. That's how you reboot a season, and that's how you play an entire season. I'm telling you this thing right now. The NBA and the NHL are set up far better to succeed than Major League Baseball and the NFL because they are limiting the variables. They're limiting travel. They're limiting outside influence. But the NHL more than even the NBA, because the NBA is playing in Orlando, has set itself up for a wonderful, awesome, tremendous reboot in Stanley Cup playoffs because they've got it all. Number one, they're going into this with zero positives. So they know their whole player base can feel really safe and really comfortable playing against one another and being in these locker rooms. So you've got complete confidence from the players, I'm safe. Number two, you are playing in two major arenas. Edmonton and Toronto are two of the nicest arenas in the NHL. It might not matter to us because we're not there, but it matters to the players, it matters to the coaches, and it looks good on TV. That's a major arena we're watching the Stanley Cup playoffs in. We know Toronto, home of the Maple Leafs. We know Edmonton, home of the Oilers. And Edmonton Stadium, their arena is only a couple of years old and perhaps the most state-of-the-art in all of the NHL. So these two places are beautiful palaces to play hockey. And on top of it, they're in Canada. Again, the U.S. has a 15% high, 15 times more likely to have positive tests per capita, not total positives, per capita than Canada. That's an amazing stat that if you're just in Canada, that's how much safer you are. The NHL is set up so well here. So well. And we're going to be all over it. I'm excited. I'm excited about the reboot. I'm excited about the restart. We are going to unveil a brand new segment here on the DA Show. We realize that many of you might not be totally locked into hockey. Maybe you have no idea what the standings look like. Maybe you had no idea what was going on before they shut down. Maybe you don't know about the stars or the teams or the coaches or the storylines. We're going to bring you a daily segment here on the DA Show, anchored by our one and only Don Cherry a la mode. Mraz fancies himself as the hockey guru, the hockey expert here on the DA Show, so we're giving him a task. And unfortunately, as he has admitted earlier this morning, the harder he works, the more mistakes he makes. So this might not be a good combination. But he is going to host a daily segment called Canadian Bacon. And every single morning, he's going back over the goal of the night, the player of the night, and the game of the night. Okay? The goal of the night, the player of the night, and in some way, shape, or form, the best audio soundbite surrounding the game of the night. So you're going to have your daily dose, hosted by Mraz, of what happened the night before in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And when they return, it's all playoffs. It's not like basketball, where they're coming back for seeding purposes, where it's a regular season. They are coming back ready to eliminate teams. They're just coming back with a tournament. Now, it's an expanded tournament. They've added another round so that teams that were outside of the top eight can still have a chance to be in it. But they're just starting to eliminate people. I mean, they will have the higher-seeded teams positioning for the top four seeds. But as soon as you see the puck dropped, it's to start eliminating teams. So there's a lot on the line with every game. So I'm ready. I'm super stoked about the reboot of the NHL. They're set up perfectly, and a daily segment of Canadian Bacon here on the DA Show. Mraz, I know you're fired up.
I am extremely fired up. And one thing the NHL is doing that the NBA and Major League Baseball did not do, now I know the NBA is having a lot of staggered starts, but the NHL every single day is starting as early as noon Eastern for the first two rounds. You will get games at noon Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern. So you can literally sit home if you're working from home, you're listening to us in the morning. The moment noon Eastern starts, some NBA games for the most part aren't starting until 2:30, 3 o'clock Eastern, Major League Baseball mostly at night as well. You could get right into hockey at noon Eastern, and if you want to stick with it while you flip around other sports, all the way to basically 1 a.m. when that time that last game ends for those first two rounds, every day, Monday, Tuesday, you know, go on and on and on. So there's going to be so much hockey for us to digest, to enjoy. I'm excited for it. I'm going to be locked in, and I can't wait to recap it every morning. And, of course, smell that bacon. It's Canadian bacon.
There are two sporting events that I absolutely love every time that they come around because of exactly what you say, that all day long, it's like a marathon of games. One is the NCAA tournament's early rounds, and the other is the World Cup, because you know you can just flip through the TV, whatever time of day it is, and you're watching games. Games are on. It just has this feeling of things are constantly happening. And that's going to happen with hockey. This is one of the things that have been the problem with the MLS. They've come back in Orlando, meaning they can't play in the middle of the day. It's too hot. It's too humid to play soccer outdoors in Orlando every single day in July and August. So they've had to play early mornings and nights, which is fine, because it's kind of cool and quirky that you have some 9 a.m. games, 10 a.m. games. And last night, like LAFC in Seattle, we're playing at 11 p.m. Eastern time, which is, you know, it's fun in its own right. But to me, it would have been better if they could have pulled this off, if MLS played, like, say, in Kansas City or in Minnesota. Maybe Kansas City's a little too hot as well. But pick a northern climate arena and play there all day long, so it just feels like one big tournament, one big marathon every single day. I thought that would be a really cool feel, instead of knowing, like, yeah, we can't play in the middle of the afternoon when a lot of people would be watching because it's just too damn hot. Hockey will start, as you said, noon, 2, 4, 6, 8. I mean, it's just going to be an all-day festival. So I'm thinking it's going to be awesome. And I'll say, Mraz, playing in Canada right now with zero positives sets up hockey way better than any of our other leagues. I think it's going to be a really successful playoffs for them from that standpoint. I don't think they have to worry about Marlin situations, canceled games, and people wondering if they should finish it.
No, and I don't think we will ever have a point in time where we discuss over the next 3 months, will the NHL finish? Because if they're coming out of America right now, a lot of the teams, obviously some teams are training up in Canada, but including hotspots like Arizona and Florida, and these players have stuck to what they're supposed to do, and they don't have any positives before entering a country and a bubble where there's basically no cases. I mean, as of a month ago, there were, I think, in the whole city of Edmonton, a total of 4 coronavirus cases, 4 in an entire city. The money is down right now. If you want to be doubters about any of these other sports, you're going to have somebody raise a Stanley Cup. And as the teams dwindle down and you eliminate teams, which you're going to be doing right away in the first week, you know, again, you're lessening the chance of anything kind of impeding that bubble. So the NHL, before they even enter a bubble, having zero cases and then entering a bubble in places where there's almost no corona cases is really, really setting up good. So, you know, if you're skeptical about sports returning, and that's fine if that's where you want to lean, but you still want to enjoy sports and know that you're going to get the payoff, I think the NHL is where it's at. You will get the payoff in the end of a champion. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, me too. And yesterday was a buzzkill for a lot of people because I think that they were excited about baseball being back. And then there was this kind of like crash of cold water over everybody's head of, oh, wait a second, we've got to cancel games. One of the teams has an outbreak. What does this mean? And it just kills your buzz on baseball. If you're worried about that happening and you don't want to totally invest because you're like, oh, man, it's just going to have to, I'm just going to end up being burned because they're going to stop and cancel games. It's just not going to happen with the NHL. It sets up so well. I mean, look, there's always the possibility that anything can happen. 2020 is the most unpredictable year of our lifetimes. But as you just said, most of these teams are coming out of the States with zero positives and going to Canada inside two bubbles. So they're starting off with such a strong foundation that I think it's going to be a great reboot, a great restart. I love that they're doing it at NHL facilities. They're not at practice facilities or smaller facilities. They're at beautiful NHL arenas and palaces. And we're going to start this up coming up at the end of the week, and I'm excited. When we come back, Trash Tuesday, we'll take out our trash. Send in yours, DA on CBS on Twitter. This is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Who are you trashing? Tweet at me, DA on CBS. And also dial me up at 855-212-4CBS. Mraz leads us off this segment. Mraz, who are you trashing?
I am trashing the annual now, end of July, early August, stories and reports that come of shark sightings in the Northeast. Just yesterday, DA, very tragically, somebody was killed by a great white in Maine. And there were reports at 3 Long Island beaches of sharks being sighted. So, of course, that becomes, you know, front page story stuff all over the internet. don't go to beaches the rest of the summer. The sharks are out. Look, I'm not trying to minimize a tragedy coming from a shark, but we are going into their home. We are basically breaking and entering into sharks' homes. What do we think is going to happen? Sharks are going to be seen in the water when it gets warm in the Northeast, and there's going to eventually be a rogue shark that comes up for a nibble if you're wading in a pool of seals. What I don't like, as somebody who enjoys the beach and enjoys the cool off, is the panic and the everybody going, oh no, sharks are here, we can't go to the beach. No, you can, and you can go into the water, but it's an inherent risk, we all know, that a shark could come nosing up on us. This shouldn't be breaking news every year that there are sharks around at the end of July and beginning of August. It happens every year. Hey, breaking news, there's cannolis and cakes at a bakery. Of course there are. There's chicken nuggets at a McDonald's. Of course there are. There are gonna be sharks at the beach. Stop making it big news.
Okay, trash them.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
I'm reminded of, I think it was Chris Rock's bit on the tiger that attacked Roy from Siegfried and Roy. That tiger didn't go crazy. That tiger went tiger. Stop saying the tiger went crazy. The tiger didn't go crazy. The tiger went tiger. Here is Andrew Bogish Bogues. Who are you trashing?
I guess I'm staying in the animal slash insect kingdom. I'm gonna trash flies. They're really good at getting into my house. The second I open a back door, they come zooming through. They're buzzing around my house. But then when they decide it's time to leave, and then they're buzzing into that same glass door trying to get their way back out, and I walk over and open the door up to let them out, that like reverse breath of fresh air is not the same trigger as it is on entry, where they can't still then zoom right back out of my house. They go back over my shoulder. They keep bumping into the glass door. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. They come in so easily, but they're too dumb to get out easily, so trash them.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
Are you guys getting bit up these days? Mosquitoes,
yeah.
Horse flies, things like this? Kind of feels like it's fly season right now.
Yes. And the cicadas are back. It's the year of the cicada.
So those kind of come and go. They ebb and flow a little bit here.
The cicadas are like every 10 or to 15 years, something like that. And this year they're back. Of course, 2020's got locusts, cicadas, whatever. They're already starting to hatch. It's going to be a crazy, crazy August.
Really? Okay. Interesting. So like once every Mike McCarthy coaching cycle is when the cicadas come back.
Yes, exactly. They hatch from the ground and they start buzzing.
Connor Green, who are you trashing, my friend?
Well, DA, I'm trashing NFL players who complain about their Madden rating. So I mastered social distancing this year and played just a ridiculous amount of Madden to the point that I was top 500 on Xbox in Madden. And I can tell you, the only rating in Madden that matters is speed. You could have a negative 58 rating, but have a 98 speed, and you will be my starting running back no matter what. And number two, the guy who won the Madden Challenge this year, which is one of the most prestigious Madden tournaments, did not throw a single pass the entire tournament and had a punter as his quarterback.
Yeah.
Tressway, the punter for the Washington football team of extraordinary gentlemen, was his quarterback in the Madden Championship. So I love Madden, but it might not always be the best representation of what happens in real life. So all these guys that complain about their Madden rating, get them out.
Trash them.
Overflowing landfill.
Connor, are you a top 500 player in the world at Madden?
I was top 500, and then I got to a point where the guys that I were playing was so good that I got so frustrated, and I just had to, like, I was gripping my controller so hard, like smashing my remote, that I finally just had to give up. So I was at one point top 500.
And are you taking a page out of the Madden Champs playbook of never throwing a pass, like you're only running the football?
I would play with the 49ers, and I would throw the ball maybe two or three times a game. I would run the ball because Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert are two of the fastest running backs in the game. And I would run the ball like 35 times and throw it maybe twice. And I would win like crazy.
So you benched Garoppolo just like Shanahan did in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Pretty much. The only thing I didn't do is put a punter in at quarterback. But honestly, I should have done that because the guy who did that won the entire like Madden championship.
You know, Merez, this is an amazing an amazing little nugget here, because you've played Madden, I'm sure, quite a bit during pandemic as well. And reaching top 500 in the world is a really significant barometer.
Shocker. Connor's good at something else he works hard at. Unbelievable. Yes. I work hard at Madden, and I could tell you I won't even register in the top 100,000 players in Madden. In fact, I had to scale back and go back to playing a little bit on rookie level just to get a couple of wins in my franchise to make the playoffs.
Now, so Connor, you're not you in the top layer. Go ahead, DA.
You're not in the top 100,000, and Connor's in the top 500 in the world?
Yeah. Yeah, so coincidentally, we probably have the same ranking of producers of radio as well. Unbelievable. So Connor would absolutely crush me if we played today. There's no doubt about it.
AB?
I was just going to ask Connor if he, too, lays his daughter on the ground when he plays Madden like Sean does. Or
that might be his problem. That might be his problem.
Now, let me ask you guys. We have not had full-on sports in a while. Luckily, they're coming back. But could we have a Connor versus Mraz Madden game and have our listeners watch it and maybe live stream this on Twitch or something like that so that we actually can see the destruction of Connor over Mraz in Madden?
We can. There's only one, I think, minor problem is that I play on PS4. Connor seems to play on Xbox, and I don't know. Can the two correlate through a network, Connor? I honestly, that is way above my pay grade. But if there's a way to make it happen and we can get our Twitch channel going, I think it would be awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if you can play Xbox versus PlayStation, but I'll double check and see if there's a way that you could somehow like play across both platforms.
Yeah, or maybe I get my hands on an Xbox to borrow from somebody for one night. You get your hands on a PlayStation, something like that. We'll figure it out, but maybe that's the way to go.
As long as I get Tress Way, the punter, as my quarterback, I'm set for anything.
But you've already revealed your game plan. I know you're running. I'm going to play 8-man in the box the whole game. I'm ready to go.
This is great. Wow, I would love to see this. Very good. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, I am trashing the people that were just so negative on opening day. It was nonstop barrage of, oh, I can't stand the new playoff format. I mean, we just got baseball back. How about we enjoy it a little bit? You know, we've been waiting for months for any type of sports, any type of physical activity to watch on television that's new. And now, and the whole day, I just felt like it was a lot of negativity out on social media. I mean, let's enjoy it. Look at what happened yesterday. We don't know how long we're going to have sports around. Let's enjoy it while we have it.
Trash
warm, sizzling garbage.
I have to say, there is no worse place to be right now than social media. I just think right now, it's always been a firefight. It's always been a battle zone. But now it's so obnoxious. And Mraz, you can say it's brutal, but you're on there constantly every day. And you're tweeting aggressive takes that stir people to want to fight. And then you engage. If I'm not saying I'm the end-all be-all, but my Twitter is purposefully not combative. I don't want to fight with people. I want to put out content that is not about fighting or discrediting or dragging people into a battle. I'm sick of it, and I'm going to be part of the solution, hopefully not part of the problem. But you always say, Twitter's so miserable, it's so negative, I hate it, and yet all you do is try to fight with people. You're actively trying to fight.
Look, I agree, but I don't think there's enough people trying to see positives right now. That's all. And I'm just, and ironically, as I'm seeing positives, you're right. I'm getting dragged down and fighting. But, you know, when the entire timeline becomes 20 people going, this is why you have to cancel baseball season, I mean, somebody has to come up and try to show some light on the other side. And maybe I'm not the right answer or right voice for that. I understand that. And I do get bogged down in it, but it's just too much. I can't do it. And I get caught in the cycle, and there's no doubt about it.
But what about the times that you're looking to just enrage people by making fun of their team, their coach, a loss, a player, an injury?
That is,
you do that a lot too.
There's no doubt about it. Believe it or not, I have scaled back. I'm kind of like a guy who went from 2 packs of cigarettes a day to maybe 2. to 2 cigarettes a day. So yes, I have scaled back, but that's still in my DNA. But yeah, I mean, eventually I'm hoping I could wear the patch and get that completely off me.
The Twitter patch. It's a nicotine drip of negativity just going directly into your bloodstream. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, another fight on Twitter. This is good. Oh, fighting with Jets fans. This feels good. Oh, yeah. Discrediting Tony Romo's legacy. Oh, yeah. Feels good. Feels good.
Hey, all I know is this. Marcus Stroman got hurt, and I backed away. I wasn't making fun of Met fans for it. I wasn't doing any of that. Where 5 years ago, you basically wanted to strangle me because I mocked Matt Harvey getting hurt. So I have come. I may not have come far enough, but I have come some ways over the years.
I am trashing the cup holders in my car because when I put my cell phone, these cup holders are good for a cup. They're very good for a can of soda. They're very good for, you know, putting a cup in there. But what they're really bad for is putting my cell phone in there because for some reason they're the exact size that if I put my cell phone in there, my cell phone starts calling 911. I don't know if this happens to anybody else.
What?
But it's a real problem. I think on iPhones that if you press both sides together at the same time, the two buttons on the sides, I think it automatically calls 911 for a distress signal. I think that's the automatic, you know, cry for help if you're in trouble, which is great that cell phones have this and that iPhones have this. But for some reason, the size of my cup holders when I put the phone in squeezes just gently enough two sides of my phone to where inevitably I will hear wah, wah, wah. I'm like, what happened? Oh my, that's my phone. And I've got to pick it up and I've got to cancel the distress signal. I'm telling you, I've had about five times in the last month, my phone calling 911. I'm hoping that there's not 911 dispatchers that are worried about my safety constantly because it's usually in my driveway when I just like gotten into the car and put my phone into the cup holder. So I'm thinking that they know I'm not constantly, you know, being, I guess, attacked by murder hornets or something like this. But why can't these cup holders just be slightly bigger or the phone not be so sensitive? Now, I haven't had any 911 dispatchers call me back, so that's good. I haven't had any cops arrive, so that's good as well. So I don't think the call's actually going through. But come on, cup holders. Help me out here. Trash them.
Ooh, that garbage bag is leaking.
But, D.A., don't put your phone in the cup holder anymore. That seems to be a really easy solution instead of blaming your cup holder. I'm very confused right now. It's
okay.
A cup holder, not a phone holder. So, of course, it doesn't fit your phone. Put your phone somewhere else.
Okay,
you can
look,
buy one of these phone holders that clips into like your air conditioning vent.
All of these things are true. This is actually my wife's car because you guys know the story.
Right.
The 2007 Xterra had to finally see its watery grave a couple of weeks ago. So
Wait. Right, which, by the way,
you sang
Maurice Jones-Drew thinks that Brady could still be the 2007 Brady in the Patriots. Your Xterra is already shot and had to go out.
Oh, that's exactly right. Yes. The Xterra was new in 2007, and it is done. It is toast. It is not getting back to 07 levels. But it's gone. I sold it $500 at 170,000 miles on it, dented to all hell. I finally was like, okay, I'm not sinking any more money into this. And so I sold it, and I sold it to a guy. He was from Haiti. He was going to send it back to Haiti. They were going to take out the engine and put in a diesel engine and have it drive around Haiti as like a bus or something like this. So good luck. I'm hoping the Xterra sees a second life, but that's what I'm talking about. Like, it might be at the bottom of the ocean right now. So I'm actually borrowing my wife's car for the time being when I need it, and I don't have my normal bells and whistles like, as you said, that cell phone holder that clicks into the front window that I usually have.
Unbelievable. Also, it should be noted with you calling 911 like this and nobody getting back to you, it feels a little like the Britney Spears YouTube videos where people are wondering if she's crying for help. Are people going to start having DA conspiracy theories? There's something going on with Damon Amendola. He keeps dialing 911.
Leave DA alone! Send us your trashes. DA on CBS. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. How about Jose Ramirez? Off to a hot start. Batting .417 in a two-home run performance on Sunday against the Royals. The Indians' third baseman also has three extra base hits to start the season. the Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger there to help. Supplies and solutions for every industry, safety, recovery guides, 24/7 support and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, that's the only negative right there, DA, to sports coming back. I think we all need it and want it, is that I really enjoyed for a long time Pete the Body going with a character in one of our sports movies as the Player of the Week whenever he put together these reads. And now that we have to do real Players of the Week, it kind of is disheartening.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a really good point. Speaking of, tomorrow, Mothership of the Movies continues. Angels in the Outfield. So this is a film about a young boy who is from a foster home and is Danny Glover the manager of the Angels?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, George Knox.
And this boy is like a mascot of the Angels or just like a really big fan?
Big fan.
Yeah. big fan that you know, wishes for something, and his dream is the Angels win the pennant because it would help his life. So that's all.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
So we're watching this.
Giving spoiler alerts on a 30-year-old Angels in the Outfield movie. He prays for help. Angels show up, and the real Angels win baseball games. And they believe him that Angels are helping them.
If you haven't seen this 1994 film, we don't want to give away the end. By the way, if you want to watch it, I had a doozy of a time trying to find it. I'm thinking it's on, you know, one of these subscription platforms or Disney Plus or Netflix. No, it's not at any of them. It's virtually impossible to find Angels in the Outfield unless you watch it on YouTube, thankfully for free. Most movies are on YouTube for a pay subscription, you know, $2.99, $3.99, some type of fee. Not Angel in the Outfield. This is a freebie. You can just watch it. So that's how unpopular and little searched it is. So you can watch Angels of the Outfield with us tonight on YouTube.
Yeah. Also, it should be if you don't, if on commercial as well. If you go to your normal, if you have TBS in your cable package, it is on TBS on demand. Apparently, it's been very big on TBS in July. So you could even do a little search in your cable history or whatever, and you could set not even set your DVR. You can watch it on demand, but it'll have some commercials in it.
Yeah, which were not expertly inserted into the movie. Not that the movie had, obviously, holes for commercials, but whoever was in charge of laying them in just kind of jammed them into, and they don't come into break or out of break smoothly, but it is there on TBS's app and on demand.
Okay, so TBS has an app. I didn't know that. And they've got it on demand, and Angels in the Outfield is on that. Okay, that's good to know. So we're going to watch that tomorrow for Mothership at the Movies. AB has our headlines right now. AB, what do we got?
These ones are sponsored by Geico, who's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. A little bit of personal history helped the Astros beat the Mariners again last night.
First pitch swinging, a shot to left field, going back on it's Gordon. He'll look up, that's a goner! Alex Bregman's 100th home run puts the Astros up 4-3.
That's Steve Sparks on Astros Radio. Bregman's 100th career homer put Houston ahead for good. They beat Seattle 8-5. The Astros take 3 of 4. They've won 19 of their last 21 meetings with the M's. The Rays roughed up the Braves 14-5. The Mets a 7-4 win at Fenway on NL grass. The Cubs led 8-1. Only one in Cincy 8-7. The Brewers were 6-5 winners in 11 in Pittsburgh. The Marlins still have the headlines when it comes to COVID-19. As many as 11 players and 2 coaches have tested positive to date. Those that test negative in the latest round of results, which were supposed to come in either last night or this morning, will head to Baltimore today, play the O's tomorrow and Thursday. The two teams will not play again tonight in Miami. Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker and Seahawks cornerback Quinton Dunbar now on the commissioner's exempt list because of their armed robbery charges in Florida. Prosecutors are still deciding whether to pursue that case, so both players' lawyers say they will appeal the league's decision.
The Giants have a first-round draft pick. It's a first-round pick on the commissioner's exempt list right now. They've got to hope that one of their first-round draft picks gets clemency from the commissioner to even be eligible to play football. Gettleman, disaster.
And it also shows the hypocrisy. They just cut their kicker, who was a Pro Bowler a year ago, for three misdemeanors. That's but they're right. hanging on to DeAndre Baker because they invested a first-round pick hoping this case falls through. Not just saying, hey, well, you know, we're going to set an example of culture and cut everybody in trouble here. No, you can cut the kicker, but the guy you spent the first-round pick on, you're going to wait until this plays out in the legal process.
And what did Rosas do to get cut?
He apparently drove drunk and then did a hit and run, but they couldn't prove he was drunk because he stumbled out of the car and ran away. And then by the time they found him, the blood alcohol content was down. It was a really ugly, stupid case. But they got him out, and they had to sign Chandler Catanzaro, so that should be a lot of missed kick coming up our way. But they keep DeAndre Baker, who's involved in armed robbery, because they have to see how this plays out and they get the exempt list for him.
Got it. So DWI, hit and run. Frantically running away from your car because you're too drunk gets you cut, but armed robbery, hey, we got to see how this thing plays out.
Yes, total joke. Total okay. joke.
All right.
Last thing, DA, LAFC in San Jose in the quarters of the MLS is back. 20 LA dumped Seattle last night 4-1 after the Quakes outscored Real Salt Lake 5-2. That one ended with RSL's Kyle Beckerman kicking the ball into the backside of ref Drew Fisher as he blew the final whistle. Beckerman got a red card on his way off the field. DA, back to you.
Thank you, AB. When we return, we'll get into some of your trashes on Twitter and also why the Cubs broadcast booth is my hero. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
You're so funny.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You're just so funny. Happy Trash Tuesday, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Send us your trashes. DA on CBS. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. You can dial us up with your trashes as well. Sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies on top of what Geico could already save you? So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more.
Voila.
Podcast The DA Show on demand every single day. Go to your favorite podcast platform and search The DA Show. I am so supportive of the Chicago Cubs broadcast booth. When I say I am so, I feel like Shep. I feel so bad.
I feel so bad.
I feel so good about the Cubs broadcast booth because apparently it was 91 degrees the other day over the weekend during the day as the Cubs were playing their weekend series against the Brewers, and their broadcast team of Len Casper and Jim DeShays was caught on camera in the press box during the game in a suit and tie. And people are like, why are they wearing shirts and ties and suit jackets on a 91-degree day with the press box window open so it's that type of heat inside the press box as well at a game where there are no fans? It's the middle of the summer anyway. I mean, Harry Carey was lucky to wear a shirt and pants during when he was calling Cubs games. And we've got the broadcast booth of the Cubs now wearing suits and ties on a 91-degree day. Well, the broadcasts are run by Marquee Sports, and apparently it is run by a pair of New Yorkers, Mike McCarthy, not that Mike McCarthy, and Michael Santini, who have been vocal about wanting to present their games with national network quality, so they're making Len and JD wear ties, shirts, and coats for games. I love this. I absolutely love this. Look, if you are like me and you work in front of a microphone all day and it is 4 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is that this is your job, physically it is not taxing. Mentally it is taxing. Physically it's not. We can stand to be a little bit more taxed. Okay, this is not that hard. And when slobs and lazy people in this industry would prefer to wear jerseys or stained t-shirts or sweatpants or shorts, to me, it is yet again a lazy way of approaching an easy job anyway. This is not hard. Okay, is it mentally taxing? At times, yes. But physically, it is not grueling. If you also need to be comfortable when doing it, you're a slob, you're a slug, and you might as well just roll up like a turd on the couch and just keep eating Cheetos all day long, okay? I love that these guys have the respect for the viewer. You don't want to see slobs. You want to see somebody taking care of themselves and of their of how they look and of what they wear, because then you trust that they're actually putting the work into the broadcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.